We would prepare to do that. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you that you truly are, as we've been reminded this morning, that you truly are our good Heavenly Father. And where our earthly fathers fail, where we as fathers fail, I thank you that you never do, that you're perfect in your love and your care and your provision and your protection and your discipline of us. Lord, you are our perfect Father. You are our Abba Father, who has gone to great lengths through Jesus to rescue us, to save us from our sin. Thank you. Father, as we talk about fathering this morning, may it be a blessing for all men. And Lord, for all the women here today, may it be an encouragement to bless the fathers and encourage them as well. Lead us, Father, this morning into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is good to laugh together this morning. But have you noticed when it comes to fathering, typically fathers in our culture, whether it's on media or whatever it is, are portrayed in one of two things, one of two ways. They're portrayed often as that dad joke, roll the eyes, and you just got to deal with the inept father who's kind of the goofball, who's kind of the one that doesn't really do a great job, who's just there and everybody's trying to clean up his mess and all he's good for is the dad joke. Have you noticed that portrayal of a man or of a father? Or you have the other side of fathering or manhood in general, that's that destroyer. It's that guy who is able to fight, who is able to be the last one standing, who's able to go against all odds, who's able to overcome anything. There's nothing this guy can't do. He's usually about 6'4", 225 pounds, chiseled, and is like this perfect example of a man who just goes and destroys everything. Have you noticed that caricature of a man and of a father? And usually it's one of those two, either the inept or the destroyer. But this morning, what we need to understand is the character of a godly man, the character of a father who will lay down his life for others around them. This morning, whether you are a father physically, whether you have children or not, we want to paint a picture of manhood that will encourage and will allow all men to step into the role of spiritual fathering in the lives of the people around us. And if you're a woman here today, as we talked about during Mother's Day, we certainly want to not say, okay, check out, this is going to be a snoozer for you, you might as well just go. But I want you to understand the godly characteristics of a man so that you might pray for, encourage, and support them in a way that will bring life and a way that will be good for all of humanity. This morning, we want to encourage all of our men and encourage women to come alongside of men in spiritual fathering. So, two key areas that we want to talk about, and these follow the same pattern as the message we looked at on Mother's Day, on spiritual mothering. We want to talk first about a biblical foundation for spiritual fathering, because I want you to see that it's not just those who have biological children that are fathers today, that it's for all. So sermon notes are in your bulletin. This first section I want to walk through, if you're here on Mother's Day, this will be more of a review. And even if it's not a review, if it's the first time you're seeing, I want us to walk through and understand this kind of paradigm for all men being spiritual fathers. Biblical foundation for spiritual fathering. So it begins with this. It begins with the idea that God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says this. Jesus, as he's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. This is a very key idea because God, even though he reveals himself as Father, God is spirit. Literally, with God being spirit, as spirit, God is genderless. God is genderless. Scripture, however, though, uses primarily the masculine pronouns of God, though on Mother's Day we looked at and talked about 26 places in Scripture where God is talked about with mothering or female characteristics, how Israel was birthed out of the womb from God, how God comes and he cares for us as a mother hen comes around and lovingly cares for, that in the aspect of the Spirit, hood of God, that there are both masculine pronouns of God used, but there are also attributing physical or feminine characteristics that are attributed to God as well. But God the Father, and please understand this, this is very important for us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always referred to as he, never she. Okay, so even though God is spirit and there are sometimes these qualities used 26 different times in Scripture of God in a feminine way, God is never referred to, God the Father, God the Son in Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, never referred to as she, always he. This is not talking about a feminine God. This is just talking about God as spirit. 26 different times. The predominant way that God interacts with us is as father with child, and the masculine is the way he reveals himself most commonly. But God is spirit. As spirit, he's genderless. Scripture uses those masculine pronouns the majority of all the time, but attributes those feminine qualities. But God created, and this is where we need to understand, God created mankind in his image, male and female. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. As a result, the fullness of the image of God is captured in male and female. If you want to know the fullness of what God looks like, God as spirit, the fullness of who he is captured in male and female. There isn't one that is superior to another. All are equal, male and female. The fullness of the image of God created is shown in male and female together. Still, God created mankind in his image, male and female. Lastly, as God's image bearers, men are designed to father. This is where I want us to make sure we come to in our understanding. The roles and the actions and the attributes attributed to men, such as providing, protecting, fathering, as you look all throughout Scripture, they are attributed to God. And so for men, therefore, within the design of every man is the capacity to father. Okay, hear that again. Because we are image bearers of God, God who is father, within the capacity of a human being is the capacity for a man to father. Doesn't matter if you have physical children or not, because you are an image bearer of God, within your spiritual and physical DNA is the capacity to be a father. We limit it to whether you have biological children or not. The reality is God is our father. In our DNA is the reality that we are all created to be, as men, fathers. Just as women, whether there are physical children involved, there is a capacity in every woman to be a mother. Does that make sense so far? Just a background, because the reason I share this is simply to say, whether you are here as a man, whether you have children or not, this day is about you as well. Certainly we honor all fathers, but we want to honor all men, because within the capacity of a man is the capacity, because it's created in the image and likeness of God, is the capacity to father. Why is this important? It's important because in our culture, unfortunately, fatherlessness is rampant. A couple years ago, I went with Werner, went to the Man Up Conference. They have it every year. Urban Impact puts it on. Ed Glover, who is the founder of Urban Impact through Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin, Clint Hurdle was there, Tunch Ilkin, all these Steelers and leaders in the sports world have come alongside this project saying, here is the focus. Men need to be men, and there is a rampant issue of fatherlessness in our culture today, and where there is fatherlessness, men need to step into the gaps. And where men have the role of father physically, need to be called up to be the men of God that are fathers to their children. And so today, in this culture that we find ourselves in, where many fathers are missing in action, whether physically or even if they are there physically, they may be missing in action as far as investing in their children. We want to be men who call each other up. And women, we encourage you to be women who pray for and encourage and stand alongside the men in your life, encouraging them to be the fathers that God has called them to, whether in your own families with children or encouraging the men around you to step into the gaps and to be father figures, spiritual fathers in the lives of children around. That's our goal. That's our desire, is that all children would have someone step into their lives to be a father figure to them, and that men would be called up to that. See, I recognize that on a day like today, with that fatherlessness, that lack of a physical father present, whether it is because that man has not fulfilled his duty, or sometimes, as in the case, as Jim shared this morning, fathers who have gone on to be with the Lord and are not physically present with us anymore. Today can be a real painful day, can it? Today can be a day where we say, oh God, where are the men? Where's the man that should be in my life? Or, oh God, that man that was so good in my life is now gone on to be with you. He's no longer physically present because he's passed away. Today can be a painful day. On this day, we need men to come around us, to encourage us. We also need to encourage the men that are here today. It's been shared as well on a number of occasions about God as our father, and whether your physical father was good or not, whether he was present or not, whether you value the role the father that you've had in your life has had. Know this, wherever your physical father has failed, God is not like that. He never runs out. He never drops the ball. He's always there. He's good. He's good. So this morning, this is where we want to talk about encouraging the men around us in the role of spiritual father. Let's talk about a biblical framework for spiritual fathering. This is where we want to spend the majority of our time here. Paul instructs Titus on what to do in teaching the older men and the younger men on how to be a man, how to walk with God, what are the attributes needed. It's a framework for spiritual fathering. And so he begins by talking to the older men, verse 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Six attributes that Paul calls them to have, that Paul calls men to have, older men specifically, whether physically or spiritually in the Lord. It's the bigger picture. He breaks it down into really two categories. The first is to be dignified. For the older man, the first category, the first three, fall into this idea of being dignified. There are three attributes that Paul gives in this idea of being dignified. The first is temperate. Temperate. Temperate means abstaining from alcohol or using so moderately that there is not a dependency on it. This is not a prohibition from all alcohol, but it is a prohibition from being able to run to it, from dependence upon it, whether for alcoholism or just in general for, can't wait to get to the end of the day so that I can have a drink. That's dependence upon it, even at that level. If you can't make it to the end of the, you can't make it through the day without thinking, boy, I can't wait to get to the end so that I can get that glass of alcohol, there's a dependence that you have on it. You're looking to it to fill something that only God can give. Paul says for an older man, a dignified man, spiritually and in many cases, physically, to abstain from it or to use so moderately that there's no dependent on it. You know, our culture, I believe this is a needed message and a needed example in our culture. Because in our culture today, what is held up as a strong man is the man that can drink and can outdrink you under the table, right? It's the man who is able to have the most whiskey or the most beers and not be affected by it at all. It's that false masculinity that pounds the chest that says, look how strong I am. I can drink more than you can. You see it, right? We see it all around us in the media. We see it in our entertainment. It's that false strength. Paul is saying to set another example, one that is not dependent on anything else, one that is able to be in control of all things around you. Second aspect, worthy of respect. In some translations, it's literally to be dignified. It's the same idea, to be worthy of respect. It's a picture of a man who is upright in character. It's a picture of a man that gets respect, not because it's what it's expected, but because it's what has been earned. It's what has been earned. Because the life of that man has so been lived in a way that it is deserved, that they've lived upright in their character, in their example, that though they are not perfect, and there is not a perfect man out there, but that they admit their faults and that they are constantly running to Jesus to be transformed more and more into his likeness, into his character, a man who people want to be around, a man where people run to, and see a life-giving person. This is a man who is worthy of respect. Lastly, in this area for the older men of what dignity looks like is one who is self-controlled. It's curbing one's desires. It's being in control of the appetites of the flesh for things like food, things like sex, things like wisdom and knowledge that can puff a man up. None of these things, food, sex, wisdom, none of them are bad. But when they become corrupted by our desires so that we want to indulge in them, so that we want to make them the focus of our lives rather than enjoy them and live in thanksgiving to God, this is where these good things become out of control. For everyone, male or female, man or woman, self-control is not something that you can do just, I'm going to control myself more and more and more. Self-control is a result of crucifying our flesh, of saying, God, I choose not to live according to the ways of sin that you've rescued me from, and I choose to live in dependence upon your Spirit. It is a death to self and my desires, and a yes to the Spirit of God to be filled to overflowing, where he is in charge of our lives. This is a dignified life for the older man to go after. It's also a mature life. When it's talking about maturity, be sound, he says in verse 2, be sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. This is not about age maturity. This is about spiritual maturity. There are many men who are age mature who are not spiritually mature. And so the life of an older man in the Lord is one that is spiritually mature in these three areas. Spiritually mature and sound in faith, in their trust of God, deeply trusting in him and regularly growing in dependence upon him. Of recognizing, and this is one of the hardest things for a man, to recognize that I'm not in control, that I cannot do it. It's one of the hardest things for a man to be able to come to the end of himself in and say, I cannot do it. I'm not in control. And to say, God, only you are in control. And so I surrender myself to you. I trust you. I grow in dependence on you. Sound in faith, sound in love. Sound in love is a love for God that extends to a deep love for others through sacrificial service and giving without expecting anything in return. This is the sacrificial love that God is calling mature men to have. This begins with a love for God first and foremost, but extends to neighbors. In 1 John chapter 4, at the end of the chapter in 1 John chapter 4, talking about the love of God, John says this: how can you love God if you cannot love others? How can you love God who you cannot see if you do not love those around you who you can see? And so our measure of our love for God is not how much I say I love God, but how much I love those around me. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can talk all day long about I love God, I love God, I love God, but if we are not giving ourselves in love to the people around us, if we're not loving children around us, if we're not investing ourselves in the people around us, if we are speaking in ways that tear others down and not build them up, if we are looking more to my interests rather than the interests of others, how can we say we love God if we are not loving others? And so a mature man is one who, out of their growing love for God, it's spilling out into the lives of others. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't like to make a mess. I like everything to be nice and neat and orderly. And if things get out of hand and get messy, well, then I got to clean it up right away. So it is totally against my nature, when I'm pouring the milk for my children, to get it anywhere near the top of the glass. Not because I'm stingy, not because I don't love my children and want them to have a good amount of milk for their bones to grow strong, but because I know the way kids go, if I pour that glass too high, it's going to go everywhere. So I intentionally pour it well below the top of the glass because I don't want there to be a mess. Friends, you and I, whether you're a man or a woman, our love for God should be so evident that it just causes, in a good way, a mess that it spills over everywhere. That the love of God is so filled up in our lives that when people touch us, when our lives bump into each other, that what comes out is not, hey, what are you doing, or hurtful words or angry actions, but what comes out of us is love that just spills over. A mature man, a mature woman, a mature person in faith is one who is going to be sound in love, loving others in such a way that it spills out into the lives of those around them. And it's a man who is sound in endurance. It's waiting patiently for all things to be made right. We live in a world where there is a lot that is not right, that is unjust. But there's only one person who will be able to make all things right, and that's Jesus when he returns. And so we press on towards Christ despite the difficulties around us, despite suffering, despite any persecution we may have. A mature man is one who is sound in endurance. All in all, in short, an older man is one who displays maturity of faith that looks and imitates like Jesus. It's not an outward demonstration that is religious in nature, but rather it's the result of a deep inward change in which God, by his Spirit, has so changed us that what comes out is not what we were, but it's who we are becoming in Christ. It is a man like Jesus. Certainly we want to pass on skills and responsibilities and all of those things, but what we really need to pass on is the life of Christ from one life to another. And that's what older men have been called to, older men in the faith, dignified lives that are mature in Christ that spill over into the lives of people around them. For the younger men, here's what Paul says. Verse 6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. So listen to this for a second. For the older men, back to verse 2, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. There's a lot there for Paul to teach, that Paul wants Titus to teach the older men. But what does he want to teach the younger men? One thing. Be self-controlled. Isn't that interesting? That for an older man in the faith, there's all of these things. Temperance, self-control, worthy of respect, all of these, you know, sound in faith and love and perseverance, all these things. And to the younger men, Paul tells Titus, just go tell them, go teach them how to be self-controlled. Why? Because the number one thing that a young man needs to learn is how to control all the stuff going on inside. You know, it's been said that young boys and young girls are completely different. Young girls will sit at a table and will do tea parties and will play with dolls and will do all those things and to talk to moms and dads who have daughters and they're like, oh man, they're great. So nice and calm and we sit and we have all these things. It's all this fun. And you talk to dads of boys, and it is anything but nice and calm and sit around and have fun. It's usually make sure they don't kill each other. Why? Because God has wired boys and men to be all in out there and go after it. It's part of the design that God in himself has. He's an all-in, go-after-it, passionate God, and he's wired that in men and in boys, and it's an all-in, go-after-it passion. You don't have to tell a boy, would you get more excited? What you have to tell a boy is, let's calm down. What a young man needs to learn is how to control everything that is going on so that everything that God has created a man to be is expressed in a way that gives life and doesn't destroy. The greatest need for a young man is to learn to live self-controlled, to learn to control their temper and their anger. We talked about anger a couple weeks ago. Anger is love motivated, love expressed. Anger in itself is not bad when you're angry at the things that are wrong in this world. It's when you seek to try to destroy things and not correct them and stand up for justice and right that anger gets out of control. So control your anger and let your anger at the things that are wrong in this world be used to bring life and correction. To be self-controlled in the tongue. One of the first things that comes flying out of a young man's life when things are wrong or they don't like somebody are words that just destroy. Learn to control the tongue to speak life, not death, out of the tongue. To be able to be self-controlled in pride and ambition. There's nothing wrong with wanting to go after and get something. Wanting to accomplish something, wanting to build something, wanting to see something that grows and is established and builds up. But when you do it and it becomes established and built up and you go after it and I get, and look how good I am, now that's pride and ambition that has been out of control. Greed. And may I just speak to this for a moment? The reality of the way God has created men and women is that in most cases, men are physically stronger than women, and men in our culture have a position that is often higher than women. Some of that is coming into correction, which is a good thing. But for a young man to view their physical strength and their physical power as not something to be exerted over others, especially women, is something that young men need to learn. And to use position that has been given and that is more aptly or just more given towards men in our culture. We're a much more male-dominated culture. to be able to not use that to abuse women or to abuse the weaker or the powerless in our culture are things of self-control that need to be taught to young men, to use their power and position for the good of others around them. Self-controlled in areas of fear, of overcoming their fears. And lastly, self-controlled in their bodily appetites, specifically in the sexual urges of a young man, which are way strong in a young man. It's just the way God has built young men. How to control the sexual urges of a young man. What we need, when you look at that, for younger men, there's one thing there. But yet if young men would learn how to control and live in self-control in the way that God has built them, it will be, rather than a shotgun that's shot all over the place, you know, you shoot that shotgun, and it has all the little BBs in the shotgun shell, and it just spray everywhere. And they hit a target, but they don't do it as effectively as a rifle that is a single shot that you pull up on that, and it is directed in one spot. See, what younger men need is direction from older men who are mature in the Lord to teach them how to not be a shotgun that's shot all over the place, but how to be a rifle bullet that just direct in all of the areas and passions of their lives. And ultimately, what they need, because all of this is not possible, I truly believe, all of this is not possible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What they need to learn is how to walk with God. And so older men mature in the faith, coming along younger men in the faith and teaching them how to walk with God, how to control all of these things, live in self-control underneath the direction and empowerment of the Spirit is what will bring life to our churches, to our families, to our world. Yeah, I recognize just sense this morning, and I believe this is the heart of God for us. I just sense that there is a lot attached to this day when it comes to Father's Day. So, you know, we think about it and we become aware more and more on Mother's Day of the pain that many women carry on Mother's Day. Whether not being able to have children or just some sadnesses that go along with Mother's Day. But I believe, just sense this morning, even as I preach, that there's a lot of pain and a lot of sadness that goes along with Father's Day for many here today. And that hearing these ideals of what God calls men to be can sometimes add even more pain because you see it through the lens of, well, this was not in my life. And I believe the heart of God is twofold this morning for us. First, I believe the heart of God is that we would see that he ultimately is the one who embodies all of these as our Heavenly Father, and that we would run to him as our Heavenly Father first and foremost. For he's the healer of every disappointment, every unmet need. He is the one who meets all of them. But I believe that secondly, the heart of God for us is that those who have not experienced an earthly father like this, or there's a vacuum of that right now because of loss or circumstances out of your control, that there would be a rising up of men who would step in the gap and would be fathers where either there's been unmet expectations or it's just not present anymore. It goes back to, how can we say we love God if we don't love those around us? And so to begin to demonstrate the love of the Father to those around who need to see the love of the Father demonstrated in these ways. can I encourage the older men to go find some younger men to pass this on to? And if you're a younger man today, to go find it, if you don't have it in your life, to look around at the men around us and to see examples of godly Christ-likeness and to run and to say, hey, I see Jesus in you and I want to learn how to become like Jesus like you have. That's what the church is called to do, isn't it? So love and invest in one another and in our world that people say, those are men. There's something different about those men. It's because of Jesus. Close with a short story. One that's not from our country, but I believe really demonstrates this. We have a couple of children that we have sponsored over the years through Compassion International, a great organization that their motto is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. So it's going in some of the most poverty-ridden places of the world and being able to just meet the needs of food, of education, of spiritual need through sponsorship. And so I got this story this week about a man named Gibson. And Gibson is the man on the right. And here's his story. The story goes that every week Gibson faithfully shows up at his church to teach welding skills to children in Compassion's program. He acts not just as an instructor, but also as a mentor and father figure, believing that God has called him to leave a legacy in the next generation. Now, Gibson, even he is from the country of Tanzania, even though it is a very poor country, Gibson has earned the right to retire. For years, he worked as a welder outside of the city of Mwanza in Tanzania. He's a master at his craft, taking great pride in the work he does. But Gibson knows that the reality is that 80% of the people living around him are unemployed. He sees the fatherless homes around him, the young men with nowhere to turn, nobody to turn to. And he believes that if men like him don't step up and mentor the next generation, the cycle of poverty will never be broken. So that's why Gibson loads up his welding tools every week and travels to the Anglican Egoma Student Center. And he spends hours training teens there to weld. But even more than that, he encourages them, challenges them, and mentors them. For many being raised in broken homes, he is even a father figure. The Compassion Center director says he has the heart for children. When he gives his time, when he gives his knowledge, when he gives his precious tools, he is doing that because he is compassionate with children. Anglican Egoma Student Center has a goal that 90% of those who graduate from the program will have participated in some kind of vocational training, and Gibson's welding class is a major part of the classes they offer. So every week, Gibson shows up because he knows that for true change to happen, there must be sacrifice, and he believes the next generation only has a chance if his generation pours into them. Do you hear that? He believes the next generation only has a chance if his generation pours into them. He says, "My joy would be that when I die empty, having passed on what I know, knowing that I have empowered other people." What a powerful example of spiritual fathering, of looking around to the people around him and saying, what do I have? Because somebody passed it on to him. What do I have that I can pass on to the next generation? Not looking and criticizing kids these days, but looking and saying, how can I go after and invest in the next generation? And women today, can you be the cheerleaders? Can you be the prayer backers? Can you be the ones who stand and who say, Lord, Would you use and would you raise up the men around us to be spiritual fathers who would have spiritual sons who will pass it on to the next generation? The blessing is, even if you're retired, you still have so much to give by investing in the next generation, being a spiritual father to those around you. As we wrap up this morning, as we did on Mother's Day, I want to take a few moments to pray for the men around us. Okay? So can we first just want to acknowledge the dads here today? If you are a dad, have children, if you can just stand for a moment, would you be willing to do that for us this morning? And can we just give these fathers a round of applause and thanks to the Lord for them? And now this is not to embarrass anyone or make anyone feel weird or anything like that, but we want to spend time praying. And as we do that, would all the men here today, would all the men stand where you're at? And this is, again, not to embarrass anybody or make anybody feel weird, but we believe that God hears the prayers of his people. And we believe that one of the greatest things that you can do is to pray for someone and ask God to bring blessing and bring empowerment into their lives. So for the women around, if you would find a man and just lay a hand on them and just pray blessing over them for a few moments, asking God to empower them to be a godly man who will pass on to the next generation, who will be a spiritual father to the people around them. So for all the ladies, if you are able to find a man, just pray a brief blessing over them, and then I'm going to pray for all the dads and all the men together. So spend a few moments praying for the men around you. So let's join our hearts together. Father, I thank you for the ways in which you bless us with father figures and ultimately your fathering of us. So I pray for every man here today, Lord, that you would use them to bring great blessing, great transformation, great life through Christ into the men and the women, the young men and young women around them. Father, this maturity of a spiritual father is not age dependent. So even for the youngest here, I pray that you would raise them up to be a blessing and to be a father figure in someone's life. For those who are much along in years, Father, I pray that you would bless them and empower them to live a life like Titus taught, a life that would bring life to others around, a life that would set an example of Jesus. And Father, I pray for the fathers here today, the dads, I pray that you would continue to give them impact in the lives of their children. Lord, I pray where there are struggles or difficulties in the lives of their children or in their fathering, I pray, Father, that you would step in and fill the gaps and that you would do amazing things through them. I pray that today would be a great encouragement for them today, that you would lift them up and that you would empower them by your Spirit to fulfill the role of father that you've given to them. And Father, I pray for those today who are grieving or who struggle on this Father's Day. either because their earthly father has passed away or there's been some disappointments with their father or any other reason. God, you, the God of all comfort, would you minister deeply where there are hurts, where there is grief? Father, you are the one who is able to stand in and fill the gaps. And so, Father, we welcome your Spirit to do that, to pour out the love of the Father upon them. Father, for all of us, may we first and foremost be satisfied by your love, your Abba Father's love. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together.
So may the God who